I bequeath you that. I don't think I'm pronouncing that word correctly.
Wait, did you say bequeath?
That's oh, I was not saying it right. Thank you.
Wait, did you say bequeath with an F?
Technically, it was an F-E-D, bequeathed.
Did you really? Have you been going out in public saying bequeath?
I don't say it much. Hey, howdy, freaking duty. Oh, well, you know what? We're going to go with that. I'm not going to do a redo. This is Tangents. Ashley Monique is back. Ashley, what's good?
Hey, Spencer. Why are you laughing?
It sounds like I just called you on the phone. Like, hey, Ashley, you're on the podcast. Hi, Spencer.
That's how I talk.
Okay, that's how I talk. I think that should be your response for like any time just someone's like, what? Like, that's how I talk, asshole. And like, I just didn't hear you. I have bad hearing. Okay, sure. Okay. Actually, Monique is a goddamn comedy genius, all right? And you will respect her as such, third person who's not in this room. It's always like the worst cold opens with this show. It's always real cold.
The coldest.
You like that? I can't even drink water anymore. I'm sorry, listener.
I didn't notice that you had spilled because you're wearing a black shirt. If you hadn't said anything, you could have just played it off.
I always do that. I'm like, oh, I'm always having the assumption that, oh, they must, because everyone's looking at me. So I must have to explain any sort of blemish on my shirt. Hey, you know what? Just enough time to redo an intro. Pretend like we never started. I still want to keep that. Hey, Spencer. No.
I think you should. I think that really captured my vibe.
Yeah. What kind of vibe do you think that is?
Oh, I think I've got like a really dorky, wholesome, earnest vibe.
I like that. Yeah, it's very dorky, wholesome. What was your third thing?
Earnest.
There you go.
Yeah, the other night, I was leaving Laughs Unlimited and I had biked there. Mm-hmm. And I've got these rainbow colored lights woven throughout my spokes that I turn on at night. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I've got like my helmet, I'm on my bicycle, I got the rainbow lights. And Ed Mina said, hey, are you on your way to a rave? Yeah. And I said, these lights are for safety and fun. And then I just pedaled away.
Wow. That, you know what? Good for you. All right. You know what? Edmund is a good man, but he doesn't respect safety like you. All right. He's just too dangerous. Too dangerous. He's too dangerous, actually. Get away from him. All right. Ed, if you're listening, I love you. You're just too wild and crazy for us. All right. You're always with the torn. Are they vests? Yeah.
They're a vest. They're once vest. You tear the sleeves, it's a vest now.
You're right. When is a shirt a vest? It's a torn sleeve. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you're listening right now, I just want to let you know that you didn't wish me a happy birthday last week, and it's really shitty of you. I understand that you didn't know it was, but it was kind of my birthday this past week, and you should be listening, what, Tuesday? I can't believe you didn't get me anything. And that goes as double, especially for you.
I know. Sure. I didn't know it was your birthday. I'm sorry. Happy belated.
This is No, it's not my birthday yet. See, you fucked up.
Wait, it's not your birthday yet?
No, it's on Tuesday.
Oh, well, then I still have time. Oh!
I think this would be a good time in my life to start doing a pony ride for your birthday. My birthday, rather.
A pony ride?
I want to do a pony ride.
Okay.
I think it'd be pretty sweet. I think there's nothing cooler than a bunch of people in their 30s running out some ponies.
I don't know how to put this delicately, but I think you would hurt the pony.
Oh my God.
I think you need a horse.
Emotionally?
You need a horse.
Okay, sorry. I'm just using it like, okay, a horse. I don't want to break a fucking baby horse's back. Sorry. My apologies. My word choice was bad. I apologize. That's terrible of me. I'm sorry, Ashley. You deserve better than that. What am I doing with this episode? I have no idea what I'm doing this week. So you're getting booked a lot more, and that's fucking awesome. What has been like your biggest learning? What's like, have you had like any big like learning moments recently? Because you're starting to get up a lot more, like with book shows, and you know, with that, for any new comics that are listening, there's definitely some growing pains, at least for me, when I started like getting on more book shows. Not that I'm on a lot now, but when I started to, anything that comes to mind?
I don't know. I'm trying to learning. I'm learning so much just every time because I don't have a lot of experience, and so everything is still a big learning moment to me. I'm still getting to know other comics. I'm still finding my own voice, seeing which jokes works, which jokes don't work,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know. I think right now my jokes are kind of a weird mishmash of different styles of mm-hmm. joke. And there's some that I even kind of like, do I still want to keep telling this? I don't know.
I totally get that. 100%. There's some jokes that I've even till now that I hate because I haven't. They're just kind of throwing it against the wall. And like, it's a joke, but it's not really like I'm still trying to find my voice.
Yeah. No, everything's such a learning experience to me. So why are you laughing again? Is it my voice?
No, I'm laughing because I'm doing a fucking awful job as hosting this podcast. I'm like, it's like 10 minutes in and he's like all over the place. Okay, so I've been all over the place recently because I'm a little tired because we have gone to, Brittany and I, my fiance, we've been going to a couple recently. We've gone to several different weddings and oh my God, we just got back from an absolute shit show. Like, I won't name names because I don't know if they listen to the podcast. But, like, we went to a wedding where the groom's mom, dad, and brother, who was also the best man, left the morning of at, like, the rehearsal breakfast, the morning of the wedding.
Wait, left town?
Yeah, because they're, like, they do not like the wife now that much. This is like a close family, like they're very close, like healthy family from what I can gather, but a pretty healthy family dynamic. Like they're very close, like Sunday dinners type, and he's like, you know, well into his 30s.
So are like, they justified in feeling that way? Like, does the bride suck?
I mean, hey buddy, if you're listening, We already had our conversation. Yeah, she's a little crazy.
Okay.
She's a little crazy. It was a weird wedding, man.
I'm not a big fan of weddings or marriage in general.
Oh,
so
shit.
As long as, I don't know, as long as you're going through all of that dumb ritualistic stuff, you might as well top it off with other dumb ritualistic stuff. I don't know.
So tell me how you really feel about marriage.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with spending your life with somebody if you love them, but I just don't know why you need like to sign a contract to mm-hmm. do that and get the government involved.
Staunch libertarian, Ashley.
No,
Ashimony.
I'm not. But
you gotta get the government involved. I'm doing that.
No, I know. As soon as I said that, I was like, "That's exactly the government." That's what I sound like. No. I just don't think like you have to just like why, you know?
Mm-hmm. Totally get it.
Why? Totally do. Like, we're not in the age of like this woman is now property. Your property and mm-hmm. we're signing you over, like you know, so why do we have to still do that?
Yeah, the giving away thing is real cringe.
Yeah.
Like, who gives away this bride? Like she's cattle.
Yeah. And then there's like the last name thing too, where like that's still a huge tradition. And I've talked to, like, you know, anecdotally, I've talked to some men about it, and they're like, oh, I wouldn't care if my wife didn't take my last name. And I'm like, okay, but would you take your wife's last name? And they're always like, whoa, no.
I get it. It's true. And to be honest, I probably feel the same. I don't. She's not taking my last name. At least I don't think she is. And I don't really want her to. But I will admit that I still have some of those kind of, I don't know, you get just biases or whatever in mind. Like, you know, I still want my kid to have my last name.
Mm-hmm.
So like, yeah. I mean, I guess the moral of the story is that I'm a bigot.
I'm a libertarian and you're a bigot.
Yep. It's like the worst like buddy cop movie ever. Just some guy railing about the Fed, and then just a guy that keeps getting bleeped. Like he's not even swearing. He's just saying, "Well, who would round out our A team?"
You would need to throw in somebody that one of the other two would initially hate,
mm-hmm.
and then would eventually grow to love, and then all the characters develop. So it'd have to be someone like super pro-government or like a minority or something.
Or a minority.
I mean, I don't know what kind of bigot we're dealing with.
No, I just think it's, I mean, that's a good point. I just think it's like, well, how can we cause controversy? Like that's how easy it is to cause controversy.
For some people.
Yeah, dude. Look, we're gonna have a rough time as this A-team, but we're gonna figure out how to get syndicated, okay? Or even just on TV.
Right? Yeah.
The bigot and the libertarian. Maybe it's like maybe like a Three's Company thing. It's that we don't got to fight people. It's just be like, oh, that's a wacky thing. That's a libertarian, a bigot, and a minority. Just like that. That's the commercial. Not a great commercial. I don't think this show is going to get greenlit.
No, I don't think any. I can't think of a single group of people who would be pleased by that.
Literally, no one is happy about this.
Yeah, no
Spencer.
One.
No one's happy about this. So what's new? Like, what else is going on besides comedy? Any more severed heads you found being paraded around the streets?
No. What else is new? I'm trying to think of something that is new and that I also want to broadcast.
I get it. Yeah, I get it.
I'm recently single. I guess that's the newest thing.
Damn. I'll put in like a siren for all like the neck beards that listen. I don't even know what my podcast audience is, so who knows?
I don't either. I trust that it's cool though to say that.
That'd be weird. Like, no, dude, don't say anything.
Don't. My listeners.
No, they're crazy, man. They're like hyenas. They're scavengers. They're just gonna. Oh.
I have been hesitant to like talk about it to people because mm-hmm. I have enjoyed kind of, I think, a security blanket of like I have a boyfriend, but like people are gonna know eventually. They're gonna find out because I'm just, by myself now. So
just don't drop. Oh. I'm all by myself now.
That's well.
He kept it on an uplifting note. You just got to keep all the boyfriend jokes in the act, then.
I do. Mm-hmm. I keep all the boyfriend jokes, and they're all like, "I love my boyfriend so much." Let's talk about how much I love my boyfriend. That's like my whole act.
You should just go up there and just literally just not even with jokes. Just talk about how much you love your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Up there, just make up. I mean, just make up qualities like of people on TV. Like you can just talk about Thor. Or
yeah.
Someone.
Yeah.
No, I just love his long flowing hair. I love the fact that he can pick up this hammer that literally no one else can pick up. It's crazy. I don't understand it. I really don't.
Yeah. I'm so used to.
Why did you and Chris Hemsworth break up?
Well, we're gonna get back together. I'm gonna fight for him.
You're going to fight for him.
I'm going to fight to get him back.
What kind of fighting? Is this like going to be stalkerish kind of fighting? Like, you're going to be like outside of his house. Like,
oh, yeah. Outside his house with a boombox,
mm-hmm.
throwing rocks at the window.
Yes. What was that movie? Say Yes.
Say Anything.
Say Anything. That's it. Man, that's a reference that I'm sure no one gets after. I mean,
People get the boombox reference. Even it's been referenced in enough other things that even if you've never seen Say Anything, you know the boombox.
You know, like this, the kind of cultural significance or reference of it.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Well, I'm hip to it. I'm hip to it, as the kids say, all right? Ashley, you know me. I'm hip.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very hip. I had nothing with this. I just wanted to gauge your reaction to it.
I think...
You passed.
I think my endorsement is not the one you're looking for hipness.
I mean, look, there's nothing cooler than safety.
And, there is not.
And an appreciation for a wide spectrum of colors.
Yeah.
All right? There's nothing bad about that. Admirable, I think, is a good way to say it. I think it's admirable.
Yeah, yeah. I get on stage, I tell my dick jokes, and then I hop on my bike and just ding, ding.
And just ding, ding. Do you have a bike? Like a, not bike, a bell?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I think you have to.
Really? Legally?
I think so.
Or just like socially, like it's social obligation.
No, I think, I looked it up when I got the bike and I made sure that I was in compliance with whatever. So I do have the bell. I think you need a bell, yeah. Because you need to be able to signal to other bikers that you mm-hmm. are passing them. Mm-hmm. And you can mm-hmm. just shout like on your left, but mm-hmm. you're really supposed to have a bell too, I think.
Yeah. I would always get so confused when people would say on my left. Because I used to like ride. I used to piss cyclists off because I would ride my longboard on the bike trails. Just because it was the best pavement to ride it on with no cars.
Yeah.
And I would get confused because they would say on my – all I would hear is left. And so I would start, okay, do you want me to go left? So I'll start going left, and then just start crashing into them and stuff. Oof, they did not like me. They did not like me. But that's been like 10 years ago. I would be so scared to get on a longboard right now. I'm sure I would just – I've never broken a bone, but I'm sure the second that I do something cool again, boom, just – and it's going to be like a broken pelvis or like a broken hips, like something that makes you feel old, like a fall and break injury. Just
– yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, going to bed at different times right now ruins my week. So I think I'm a pretty fragile person now.
Probably. Okay? I wouldn't risk it.
Just wouldn't risk it. Because you're all about safety.
Oh, yeah. I'm all about safety.
All about it.
I'm not even joking.
I'm not even joking, bro. That shit's serious.
Serious for me is safety.
Yo, I'm seriously safe. So who's like, so you've been getting, you've been in comedy long enough now, you got, I'm sure you got a crew working. Like, who's in your like comedy-ish circle? Not comedy-ish, but comedy circle-ish sort of as in construction.
I don't know. I don't think I have like a crew yet.
You don't? You gotta at least get some sycophants, like people that are like, oh my god, Ashley, that's so great. That's so great. Oh my god! No matter what you say, just blind sycophants.
Oh no, I definitely don't have that either.
Well, you need to is what I mean. You got to get like an entourage of just yes, man.
I think, I don't know. I'm still, well, there's now starting to be people who are like new, even newer than I am. So
that's a weird feeling, isn't it?
It is.
It's a weird feeling.
Yeah. Cause I still feel like, you know, I'm a baby mm-hmm. and now I see baby or babies. It's just like, whoa,
right
here they come.
What are you even doing? And I see it when we're at the comedy club, I see your reaction. It's very bitter. You start screaming at them. You start throwing stuff. It's very rude, actually.
Well, that's why I don't have any sycophants.
But you need to make them fear you first. Very you got to be like Machiavelli.
Okay.
It's better to be feared than loved. Okay?
Okay.
What do you think? Well, how do you feel about that?
How do I feel about that? No.
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 No. I'm just kidding. I mean, I saw one who is literally no one has ever been afraid of me until after they've met me.
I'm scared to name names of people who like are potentially in my crew because what if they're listening to this and they're like, no, we're not.
Fuck no, we're not.
Not my friend.
She's not my friend. Oh my god. I'm gonna get some water.
Okay.
I'm gonna regroup. Like Frenchka, what the fuck are you talking about? Great transition. That was flawless. I mean, I know that probably wouldn't leave that in there, but anyway, I'm so sorry that I'm like super unprepared. I'm like not ever been like just in a weird mind space, like when you're trying to be like, let's be funny. And it's like, why the fuck? I don't know.
Yeah, I feel actually I feel insecure is probably the closest word that I can think of right now about kind of like what my personality is off stage, because I don't really feel like I can write a joke, you know, I can write a joke and I can go up and I can deliver the joke and, mm-hmm. and have it be funny. But yeah. off stage, I feel like I'm just kind of like a more quiet person. And when I'm hanging out with comedians, they're all riffing, they're all joking, they're like pop, pop, pop. Everyone's saying something funny. And I'm just kind of like, oh, this is a switch that I don't really turn on until I get on stage. And mm-hmm. I just kind of want to like hang out and talk to you and not have to feel like I need to be coming up with a clever quip every 5 seconds.
You definitely don't have to do that, like become like, you know, riffing and stuff like that. If that's who you are, chill and kind of calm and collected and quiet, that's who you are. No one's gonna like judge you. Ashley, why aren't you riffing more? Like I would love that. So everyone just stops talking and just looks at you, the whole group, like, Ashley, what the fuck, we're all riffing over here. And they put on the silly voice, we're riffing.
That happened to Patton Oswalt. I think it was on the Conan podcast. I don't remember where I was listening to him, but he said he was in a car with a bunch of comedians. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're all like riffing and quipping and making each other laugh, and like he couldn't think of anything funny to say, so he was like, I'm just gonna chill here, like it's fine, like, you know, whatever. And then somebody did turn to him and was like, geez, Patton, why don't you like help with this conversation?
Yeah, well, I mean, if it makes you feel better, you may, hopefully your track's like Patton Oswalt's, and probably the other guy that said that's dead now, who knows. I mean, who knows. Was it like an open micer?
No, they were, it was all like a bunch of like established famous comedians.
It was like established con. I thought yeah. it was like, you know, back in the telling war stories.
No, yeah. No, this is like they were all successful and on their way to something.
Okay. Well, yep. Still could be dead. Who knows?
Yeah, it could be dead.
Well, Jenny's dead.
Yeah.
Or whoever they were. All right. I definitely do share that. And I would definitely say for me, it's insecurity. I mean, like, I barely even talked to anybody at mics, like, when I started comedy for months. Months and months and months and months. Just because I didn't feel like, I just felt like an outsider at that point still. It took me a long time, dude, to actually be myself in front of other comedians. And I think if yourself is how you described it, you know, quiet but, you know, cool, calm, just chilling, who gives a shit? Fuck them. No one needs to be like, I'm, you know, I'm riffing, having a great time. You ever notice when I'm just hanging with the comedians? Like, no, fuck that. And anything, I mean, it'd be kind of weird if you're like, because there's some, I've seen people try and do jokes or like work on bits in fucking conversation with the other comics, and I'm just like watching it, and it's other similar level comics like myself, like we're just open micers. I'm like, dude, that's real cringe, man. Don't fucking, it's almost like it's like a code, like don't work out bits if you're not going to tell me this is a bit first. Have you ever, you ever know what I'm talking about or experienced that?
I have, because I've done it. And I, not like,
I did it too. Don't get me wrong. I did it too. And someone looked at me like, you're a fucking idiot. What are you doing?
Well, like I have like one time I was working on a bit about this Mexican restaurant I grew up with, and just it, someone happened to bring up like the authenticity of Mexican food. And I was like, oh, and I told them the story. And then afterwards, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm trying to work that into a bit. And everybody just turned to me and was like, come on now.
Come on now, Ashley. Don't
come on now. Don't work on your bits. They didn't say it like that.
No, they all did. They all did. It was a bunch of just, you know, 24, 25 white dude open micers. It all just became gravelly cowpokes. Ashley, don't be doing that. Don't be talking about bits without giving me a forewarning first. I would disown you if that was me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I deserved to be disowned. Yeah. Mm-hmm. After, as soon as I said like, that's actually a joke I'm working on, I hated myself for saying it.
Yeah. It's true. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to just start spreading gossip around the vine, the grapevine, what fuck it. I'm just going to be a big old gossipy bitch and just make up stuff. All right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that should be my new role in the comedy community, is just the gossip.
Is it not already?
No. No, definitely not the gossip. That'd be hilarious. That'd be hilarious. But no, not yet, at least.
Okay.
Not yet. I mean, who doesn't? Everyone loves gossip.
Yeah.
To an extent. I mean, for one, it's kind of like, it's almost like it's an in activity, like inclusive. Like, if I'm gossiping with you about a third person, it's like, okay, we are at this particular level. Like, you're establishing like a level of a relationship. Like, oh, we can talk shit about. Fuck, I had to cut like 7 minutes from the pod. Like, no, not seven, like 20 minutes from last episode I did with you. Thank fuck. I mentioned on the podcast like 3 times, like, how much of a fucking idiot I was. Thank you for actually doing better editing work than me and texting you like, hey, did you mean to talk all that, or to leave in all that shit about rah, rah, rah? Oops. But those 7 people that did hear it.
Did anybody actually hear it?
You got 7 downloads before you messaged me.
Okay.
Because, you know, that's about 0.001% of my daily episode value. Daily episode value? Oh, my God. I'm very famous is what I'm trying to say. I don't know what you do at home. Maybe maybe you collect heads on pikes and you're just walking around Midtown. Was that story about you in the last episode with you?
No.
I found this crazy homeless lady with a head on a stick in the mirror.
I don't know who that lady was, but I honestly feel sad that she didn't get to keep her head.
Yeah, that's bullshit, by the way. Finders keepers.
Finders keepers.
I know,
man.
I said that last time, but that is utter bullshit.
Yeah.
Utter bullshit.
You're saying I should be meaner.
I think you should be meaner. Thank God. That's where I should have gone. You should just be meaner. I think, because, yeah, you're just a generally nice person. You have that personality. Some people will take that as flirting, I think. So you should just rework. You should change everything about yourself, because I said so. You should just change your whole personality and outlook on life, because some open micer had an idea. I think it'd be great. You should just become like the tough bitch.
Oh, honestly, I could use a little more of that.
Okay.
I wish I were like a meaner person.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit sometimes.
How so? Like, what do you think you'd be meaner about?
Saying no to people and when I feel like I don't like it, like I'm a little bit of a people pleaser, or like, mm-hmm, setting boundaries,
mm-hmm,
or telling people to fuck off when it's appropriate. I struggled to do all of those things.
Okay. Okay, so I mean, in what instances though? Because you did a fucking great job with, oh fuck, with with bleep. I'm just gonna bleep his name. And that's, I can't reference Spencer. Don't reference stories you cut on the podcast. Okay, it's not professional. You don't set context for the listeners. All right, that's all that matters is the listeners that are happy, not your guest. All right. What is it? I had the same problem too with saying no. It's usually doing stuff for other people, or you know, it usually involves my time, or like, hey, can you do this or that? Oh, sure. Or can you stay later? Or can you a third thing? Is that usually what it is for you? Or
yeah, something that I don't really want to do, but
But my point was, is it more about, are you giving up your, because usually it's like people, when they can't say no, they're giving up like their money or their time or like their own happiness or, well, I probably could be related. I know some people that, like, one of the people I know, he gave just some dude that I think was hitchhiking like $300. He's like not a rich dude, this guy, at all, but he's just like super nice. Super nice. Like, I can never imagine giving a stranger $300.
Yeah.
Like, a complete stranger. Not, like, a stranger whose, like, heartbreaking backstory I know. Because, of course, that's much easier.
Yeah.
To, like, you know, give money to someone whose plight you can see who's suffering. But, like, just to give a complete stranger, like, several hundred dollars just because it seemed like they're having a bad day. But... my point of that was, what do you think it is with you? Is it usually your time?
Or? Yeah, I think usually my time. Yeah, if I think that, I mean, like, not doing something or saying no to somebody might hurt their feelings, then it's hard for me to bring myself to do it.
Are you worried? And I'm asking this because I did the same thing. I'm worried about what their thoughts about me will be. Are you worried that they won't like you anymore, or that you won't be able to, you'll be out of, you know, there's like a, not a FOMO, but like, you know, if I'm not in that person's certain level of graces, then I might not be able to, you know, this might not be able to happen for me later. Like, what do you think it is?
Maybe, I don't know. I think it's just like, I'm like, oh no, if I say no, well, this person's feelings be hurt. And then I'm now responsible for this person feeling bad. And that just like makes me feel bad.
Oh, you're just a nice person. You're never responsible for someone else's emotions.
Yeah. And that is true.
I don't believe it either. Or like, trust me, I don't practice that either, but it is true. I mean, it's something that I try to tell myself, because dude, there's people that are like, I can't invite to my wedding, and I understand you don't give a fuck. You're like, I don't, it's just stupid, like archaic. I understand, but dude, people are gonna get upset. Like, you didn't invite me to your wedding, like, blah blah blah. Dude, sorry, man. Like, that's what I want, is just to be able to be like, hey, man, sorry, just couldn't work out, and then be able to leave, and also leave that thought there. Because with me, even if I can master the, sorry, man, it just, things happen. As I leave, I'm just thinking like, oh my God. Oh my God. Like, and I could just feel like my artery coming out through my neck. Like, it's just throbbing. Dunka, dunka, dunka. Like, because I'm just, my blood pressure's so high.
Yeah.
I haven't mastered that part. Like, the inner turmoil. I'm trying to work on the, hey, couldn't do it, buddy. Sorry. But the inner part is... What was my point of that? Sometimes I started off as like armchair therapist, and then just ended with just having a breakdown. That's what I think I should do. Every good therapist should start the session and end it in the switch. Like, the therapist starts having a breakdown, because kind of maybe would help the patient be better.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
like, you know, sink or swim time. Now it's time to apply the lessons I've taught you. Help me through this breakdown.
What if, like, yeah, that's how you apply the lessons learned. It's just, okay, so we've learned how to say no, and we've learned, that's what we're going to practice today. And then you just start having a breakdown, like, I need you to do this all for me right now, Ashley. Oh, my God, I can't. If you won't do this, I'll be so upset. And like, my feelings would be, like, the fault of you. How do you proceed?
Spencer, I'm not responsible for your feelings.
Fuck yeah, Ashley. So proud of you. I'm so proud of you. All right. And scene. So proud. So proud. I just have, like, just some shitty improv actors. Like, I'm your therapist now. And scene. I do kind of want to, like, learn a little bit more about improv, in the sense of, like, getting the just having some, because I having the thought, and then just being able to express it without, I don't know, without, because sometimes it gets lost, whatever idea, like, it gets lost, and then, does it make sense, is it funny, blah blah blah. Because previously in the past, it was all just a fire hose, and just everything comes out, and it's like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? Because have you ever known someone where it's like, they have the they're thinking of a thought, like, literally, let's just go with a sentence. And they, with me, it would be like, I'll think the first part in my head, and then just after the comma, I'll just say that part out loud, as if the person with me understands exactly what I'm talking about. Have you ever done that? Or, like, do you know people like that? Or am I, again, just insane?
I do that. In, but only with people that I'm, like, really close with. So
yeah, I don't just, like, go up to, like, people in the street and, so what do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I'll do that in relationships all the time, where I'll just start saying, yeah, the tail end of my thought, and they're like, did you just think something in your head and then think that I knew what you were talking about?
Yeah, that happens almost daily, because I am just such a gifted talker. Such a gifted talker. I know that I haven't seem like that today, but I just want you to know, because I'm and scene. I was do see. I was acting, Ashley. I was acting as the unprepared, bumbling podcast host. I think. Did you enjoy that skit that I was doing?
Yeah, yeah. Now I'm excited to see what you've prepared.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Tangents. My name is Spencer Sellens, and I'm here joined this week by the hilarious Ashley Monique. Ashley, how are you?
Hey, Spencer.
I don't know why it made me laugh so much the first time. Like, it wasn't like that robotic or anything like that, but it just, I don't know. Maybe someone said that to me as a kid and like in an awkward situation for me or something. Like, hi, Spencer. I don't know. Maybe it was like the pentameter. Maybe it was like just the right amount of beats per minute. Who knows? But it got me right in the feels, actually. Got me right in the feels. And so, oh no, I'm making noises with the thing. Okay. I'm sorry, people listening. I know that this is the epitome of high class content when it comes to tangents.
This is one of the best edited podcasts.
You're goddamn right, Ashley.
Around.
Yeah. Thank you. And by well edited, you mean because I take an episode and when I say, Spencer, cut this from the podcast. And then I say it again when we're done. And I say, Spencer, now you can, this is the other part you cut. Now cut from there to there. Are you saying because I am such a podcast editing genius, I actually do the opposite? It's like jazz, like where you're playing the notes that aren't being played. Or something like that. And it's like you leave in the section of the podcast that you should have cut.
Well, you just, there's now a limited edition version of that podcast that 7 people downloaded.
Yeah.
And everyone else, you got to be on the ball. If you want the raw uncut version, you got to be on the ball.
I think I should make it to an NFT.
Yeah.
Damn. Oh my God, I'll do it. Like, people are selling memes now as NFTs. Why not? I think it'd be great to sell an episode of a podcast listened to by 7 people. That includes some just absolute grade A content, shit talking. Okay, I'm going back into my scene now.
Okay.
Scene back of bumbling podcast host. I know it's, we were having a good time there, Ashley, but as I'm putting on the baritone voice, hey, we were having a great time. This is Tangents. Okay, you've made it in some form of like a creative endeavor. Whether it's, what is it? How have you made it in the creativity? Like, are you a, you know, A-list celebrity because of your stand-up comedy, or what? Is it a podcast? Is it a show?
Are you asking me like my long term goals? Or is this like if I could just wave a magic wand?
Wave a magic wand, baby.
Okay. Honestly, if I could just wave a magic wand, I think I would be writing for a show.
Nice.
And then maybe have a podcast or something, mm-hmm. Yeah, on the side. But I think my favorite part of stand up is the writing.
Okay.
And my least favorite part of stand-up is getting on stage. So if I think I would be very happy just writing for somebody else.
You want to be my writer? Just an open micer just has someone writing their own jokes. That'd be great. I think I should be the first open micer to have a writing staff.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You can be my head writer.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. But I need you to go through all of my clips that don't exist, and I need you to find my voice, okay? And I need you to write it.
I like performing, okay? I don't know. I shouldn't.
No, there's nothing wrong with what you just said. It's what you want. It's a wand wave.
Yeah, like I wouldn't mind being able to kind of walk down the street and have nobody recognize me, mm-hmm. but still have a hand in like creating content and writing and. Yeah, the most satisfying thing to me is seeing whether the joke lands. And I actually have not like written jokes for other people, but I have gone over other people's material and written tags or like advised like this doesn't work, yeah, or like added suggestions. And then when I see them go and perform and it works, I get the same satisfaction as if I were on the stage myself.
Yeah, definitely. It's the fruits of your labor.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's awesome. Fuck yeah. Where is my book of jokes that you were supposed to write for me? Because you haven't done shit for me, Ashley. I've been paying you retainer, and you honestly, this is dog shit. You haven't done any. I don't want to hear your excuse. This is absolute bullshit, Ashley. I paid you good money. I gave you the highly valuable NFT of an episode of my podcast where I was talking shit about somebody that I who shall not be named. It was Voldemort. I bequeathed you that. Yes, I gave you that. I don't think I'm pronouncing that word correctly.
Yeah, it's bequeathed.
It is bequeathed? Okay, I'm just a child.
Wait, did you say bequeath?
That's oh, I was not saying it right. Thank you.
Wait, did you say bequeath with an F?
Technically, it was an F-E-D, bequeathed.
Did you really? Have you been going out in public saying bequeath?
I don't say it much. It's not a common word. So I gave you this very valuable commodity, and you've done nothing with it. Was that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're going to insult me about my use of the English language.
That's how I respond to the disrespect of being bequeathed upon.
Look, I don't know. I don't know how words work. Wait, bequeathed.
Yeah, with a TH.
With a T, okay. Bequeathed. It does not sound right. At all. Given. Let's just go with given.
Yeah.
Let's go with given. That's what happens when you try to use big words, people. You look like an idiot. That's what I'm just going to do. Only single syllable words from now on. Okay. Those are different letters.
Okay.
Not a double syllabled word.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think I can make it in comedy with only doing... I've already failed. Again. Do you think someone can make it with only just doing one, like, caveman humor? Like, literal single uggs and...
I don't know. I mean, you would be, like a niche...
Very niche.
Comic, yeah.
Very niche. What would my audience be?
I don't know. Someone actually told me the other day about alt comedy rooms. Mm-hmm. That would be maybe your audience.
Okay, I can make that work.
This is like you would be like roadies with Stephen Ferris. This is like a So What Do You Want to Do?
I would see him crush so fucking hard. You're talking about Stephen Ferris, like the local comic.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
dude, I've seen him crush so fuck. Have you heard his resin joke?
No.
Oh my fucking God, dude. It's so good. I won't do the bit any justice, but basically it's a play on words with he has resin. Instead of risen, and it's all... Anyway, I've seen him, like... I haven't really seen him do much comedy recently. He goes to the mics, and I think he gets on. I just...
Yeah, yeah. I saw him... This is going to sound worse than it was.
You saw him in the bathroom.
I saw him... No, I saw him riff at an open mic about his dead ex-girlfriend. And it was so funny. And he was like, I've never talked to anybody about this. But just the way that he structured it on the fly was hilarious. And yeah, I didn't like when he first mentioned that his ex-girlfriend had died, I was like, oh no, this is going to be like confessional and sad. But I don't even know how he did it, but he made it hilarious.
He made it hilarious.
I went to SF Punch last week for the showcase. Mm-hmm. And they did Joke Parade. Are you familiar with that? Mm-mm. So I learned about that too that day. I didn't know what it was, but apparently it is a San Francisco punchline tradition. And so what they did was they were like, all the comics in the room, whether or not you performed, if you want to do Joke Parade, you get in a line, and then everybody goes up on stage. It's like 10 seconds. You tell a street joke. You get off stage. The next comic comes up. And I didn't even actually know what a street joke was. It was just a little embarrassing. But it's like, you know, like a popsicle stick joke, like something. Yeah. So Steven got up. First of all, the disrespect. Steven got up and the host was like, oh, here we go.
Did the host know him or just?
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I was like, oh, here we go. And then he did, I don't know if you've, have you heard his why did the chicken cross the road joke?
I can't remember. So let's just go with no, I can't remember.
Okay. I'm also not going to do this justice, but he's like, why, you know, why did the chicken cross the road? Mm-hmm. And the audience was like, why? And then he said, actually, I'm not even going to attempt it because I'm going to fucking ruin it. But he's got this long drawn out explanation mm-hmm. as to why the chicken crossed the road. He is one of the few comics who did Joke Parade who got an applause break.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for him.
For like a, yeah, for a how did the chicken cross the road joke. It was very impressive.
That's pretty good. To be honest, don't feel bad because I'm not like 100% certain on what qualifies as a street joke. It's just like a how the chicken crossed the road or.
Yeah, I Googled it beforehand and it's like a joke that you maybe don't know what the origin is, something that you've heard. So it's not a joke that you wrote and it's not a joke that somebody else wrote. Like you should not be able to attribute it to a specific author.
Okay.
But yeah, like how did the chicken cross the road or knock knock jokes or like something you'd find on a Laffy Taffy or a popsicle stick or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Which some people seem, Joke Parade last week was a nightmare. Did you see anything about it online? It was insane. One guy threatened the host or like got really belligerent with him for no reason and they cut his mic off, but he still yelled his street joke like into the crowd and they booed him. And then another lady went up. She didn't have a street joke. She held up a t-shirt and said, I'm selling merch for my new book outside. I have a master's degree from Howard University. Ladies, have you ever been dickmatized? You need to unlearn that. Come outside and buy my book after the show. And like, I kind of thought she was like plugging her merch, but then she was going to tell a street joke. And she didn't. She just got off stage. It was insane. And then Ron said on Facebook, I'm not doing Joke Parade again for a long time.
Ron was the guy that like started flipping out?
Ron's the guy who books the showcase.
Oh, okay.
Ron Vai.
Okay.
Yeah, he was like, oh, we're not doing Joke Parade for a while.
That fucking travesty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dickmatized. Was it dickmatized or dickamatized?
Dickmatized.
Oh, you gotta have that vowel in between.
She had a lot of other dick puns too. Like I'm not even doing her justice. Honestly, the pitch was pretty funny. Mm-hmm. But Dickmatize is the only one I can remember.
Did it work? Does she have like a line of people buying her merch?
I didn't even see her when I left. I didn't see her out there. I don't know if they like told her to.
They already like shoved her off the ground. Like, hey, no.
Yeah, I don't know. But I didn't see her out there when I left.
Yeah, don't give up the game that easily. If they're going to kick you out for selling your stuff, don't tell them that you're going to be outside. Hey, I'm outside selling my merch. You know, unauthorized.
Yeah, well, and what I'm really surprised, because it wasn't like a comedy book. I think it was like a comedic self-help book. But she had to decide to go to Punchline San Francisco. She didn't know there was going to be Joke Parade. But she just happened to have, because nobody did. She happened to have her merch on her, and she was like, you know what? I'm just going to go plug my merch. I don't know how she got to that point, but I'm glad she was there, even though, you know, Ron wasn't very happy about it, but I'm glad I got to witness that.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. You got to imagine, like, she's just always ready. Ready to pull out the stand.
That's the hustle.
That's a real hustle. She's got, like, a collapsible stand that she can prop up in, like, 5 seconds. Goom, 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 goom. Sells her dickmatized shirts.
Yeah.
What's the book called? Dickmatize Me, Captain.
She said it, but I don't remember.
You don't want to. Come on. We can give her a free plug.
I wish I did remember it.
This episode is brought to you by Dickmatized, the book, author unknown. Okay, wait. So Joke Parade, it's always unannounced. So you need, even if, let's just assume that it was still going on, it just kind of happens at random or what?
Yeah, it happens at random. Ron just decides, I mean, as far as I'm aware, this is my first and only Joke Parade, but as far as I'm aware, yeah, Ron just is like, hey, we're doing a Joke Parade. Because he came into the comics booth and just said, like, hey, we're doing Joke Parade. And then it's announced in the microphone or, you know, overhead, and then all the comics line up. And then, yeah, you just get up, say your whatever joke, get off.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even, I don't think people really even really like introducing themselves or
yeah.
Thanks, I've been so-and-so, you know, you just tell your joke.
Okay. Nice and anonymous. All right. I like it.
Yeah.
Interesting. I've never heard of that though.
Ever. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Some people were telling their own jokes, which you're not supposed to do.
You just got to just tell, I guess. Yeah. It's like counterintuitive to go up there and then like, quote, steal material because you don't really know who you're stealing it from.
I know. It was really weird. And I thankfully I had a joke off the top of my head that I guess is a street joke that I know and love. But like, if I couldn't have remembered that one joke, I didn't know what I was going to do. And I was terrified that, because it's not my joke, it's a joke that people know. So I was terrified that like somebody in front of me would say it. And then that's it. That's the only joke I had in mind.
I've been there, dude. Not with Joke Parade, but I've been there where you're just thinking like, okay, it's the one thing. Fuck! Like they're taking my goddamn answer. Oh, well. Okay. Let's pretend here. Someone said your street joke. How do you get retribution?
I would, my plan, if somebody had stolen my street joke, was to like let like five people cut in front of me in line and just desperately try to think of another joke.
Just kidding. You can go.
You can go. I don't have it yet.
You can go. You're just like the most polite person in the line in the grocery store. Like, you can go. Nah, you can go. You can go. Just, such a polite person. Letting people go before you. How do you get retribution, though? How do you get back at them?
I don't get back. Oh, I wouldn't. I would.
You have to.
No, I would go up to them and I would say, I loved your street joke. That's actually the joke I was going to tell. We have the same taste in street jokes. We should be friends.
I don't believe you.
You don't believe me?
I don't believe you.
You don't believe that I would do that?
No, I believe that you would incite violence. Not commit, incite. Like you would get the crowd on your side. Like this motherfucker stole my street joke. What am I talking? And scene. Sorry, I'm back. Hey, I'm back, everybody. Don't worry about it. Spencer's back. Ah, Scooby-Doo, everybody. Energy. I think I need to work on like something new with the podcast. It feels a little stale.
Okay. Like,
I don't know. Do you ever feel like that with anything that you do creatively? Like, you gotta. But it's like, what am I gonna do? I'm thinking of like doing like different specials or something like that. Or I don't know. My buddy and I are thinking of like doing a. Hopefully, I don't know if it would come off as comic or not, but we're just like, let's do like a true crime podcast, but like about like the Jason Voorhees murders. Like pretend like it's real. Like, oh my God, in a sleepy town, this horrible monster experienced dreadful tragedy and took it out against the world. This is his story.
That could be fun.
But I gotta write it though. I was like,
you gotta write it.
Write that.
Tis the season though. That'd be a fun thing to do for October.
I know. It'd be great to do it for October, but then I gotta write it. And I have enough time writing my own jokes, let alone a whole thing. I always did want to do like a, when I was younger, like a radio drama. Just because like, I know that I'm the youngest 85-year-old in the world. But like, I don't know. I grew up like my grandfather would like, he would still like listen. He had like books, not books on tape, but just tape cassettes of like old radio programs. And he'd like put like Lone Ranger type of stuff. And like all these like radio dramas. I don't know why it just kind of appealed to me so much. Like I know the medium is kind of not great for telling a story, at least to the level of like a movie. But I don't know. I'm just trying to think of new avenues to take the podcast, because
that could be fun. You could write a radio drama and you could write like different parts in it and have people voice the parts.
That's what I would do. Definitely, it'd be fun. Do you want to write it for me? I'm not gonna do it.
I don't want to write it for
you. You're gonna have to though, because you're on retainer, Ashley. I paid you so much fucking money in potential NFT money,
but you've also taught me how to say no. Now look what you've done,
Spencer.
We've
come so far. God. I feel so proud. I feel proud of myself. I feel proud of you, mostly me, but I also feel proud of you because I just did. It's like you say with the jokes, you write someone's joke and it does well for them. I taught you single-handedly. I taught you how to say no, and you just did. And it's like, way to go.
Yeah.
Way to go, kid. Way to go, kid. Yeah. I guess you could say that I've changed your life for the better.
Yeah.
Incredibly. Like, there's no, probably like I'd be the person that you would thank, like in your academy speech, right?
Yeah.
I want to thank that open micer.
Definitely. Spencer, like, would be number one, and then God would be second.
Yo, God's cool and all, but Spencer, this guy that taught me how to say no, the shit, man. The shit. If you're listening out there and you want me to help cure your therapy or your issues, and yes, cure, because you're ailing from something, I can fix you. I can fix you, but only me. TheTangentsPod. Oh, I fucked it up. @gmail.com. No, I didn't fuck it up. What am I doing? This is true tangents where, like, I have no idea where I'm going. I'm just going everywhere. Just going everywhere. What do you got coming up?
I'm doing, I've got on October 1st, next Friday, I'm going to do the Comedy Spot Showcase.
Nice.
And that'll be fun, I think. It's the lineup is really strong. I always like when I'm like, I can see, oh, I'm the weak link here. That's a good feeling.
Who's on the lineup?
It's Rhoda Ramon, Ben Rice, Johnny Taylor, Regina Givens. And I feel like I'm forgetting somebody. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Oh, it's Shaheen Call and Alyssa Cowan. Okay, I'm glad I looked it up because I was missing two people and I love them both.
Nice. That's good. That's a good lineup.
Yeah.
That's a good lineup. Fuck. It's kind of competing with my show though, so I'm not going to promote it now, unfortunately. Sorry. Sorry, I'm kidding. That'd be so, oh my God. Can you imagine like how crazy petty that would be? Like, ugh, well, my show's on October 1st, so I can't have anyone.
Just going to cut that from the pod.
Right. You got anything coming up? Well, yeah, I do. Thanks for listening, everybody. Don't forget, October 1st, 1710 Broadway Street. Broadway, 1710 Broadway, Sacramento, California, 9 p.m. Go there. Camp Wanderlust. It's going to be a great show.
Actually, you might be able to hit both shows.
Shit.
What time? Oh, no. Our mine's at 9, too. Never mind.
Yeah, mine. You know what? Ashley's great and all, but we all know who you're here for. You're here for storytelling, scary stories at STAB, okay?
How does that show work anyway?
It's just a storytelling show.
Okay. So it's not like, are people pre-writing their stories or is it just like coming from the heart?
Oh, no. I mean, they're actual stories. Like, it's, I don't want to just have comedians up there doing therapy. No, but it's more like, I mean, for my story that when I did, like when this was just Drew's show, when it was just camp, the scary story was when I got my DUI when I was 19,
mm-hmm.
and like the fucking insanity that happened at jail that night. And like, it was a fun time. And if you want to hear it, October 1st, 9 p.m. at STAB Comedy Club, 1710. I hope I'm getting that address right. 1710 Broadway, Sacramento, California. And if you can't make it, first Friday's 9 p.m. at STAB Comedy Club, you should go there. This has been like the most disorganized episode I probably have made. Ashley is a fucking trooper for coming out here and being subjected to, I mean, per Geneva Convention, I would consider that torture.
I would too.
You would too, exactly. And it's... You're a trooper. You're a good person, Ashley. You went on the podcast. You're like, this will be good. And you're like, never mind. No, but this was fun. I want to have you back on in the future. And you know what I'll do?
Yeah.
I might even prepare.
Ooh.
I know, right? It's like, I don't even know what to do to prepare now. Like, I was like reading it, like news headlines. And I'm like, this is awful. Like, I was just reading it. And I'm like, there's nothing funny from this. Like, ooh, Alaska has the highest COVID case rate in the nation. Funny. Oh, man. Actually, I did see something that was pretty ridiculous. It was, oh, here it is. The world's biggest carbon removal plant taking carbon out of the atmosphere just opened. This is great news. This is what we're all fucked if we don't figure out a way to get rid of carbon in the atmosphere. But in a year, it will negate 3 seconds worth of global emissions.
Oh.
I'm excited because we just bought a lot more time. All right, and I'm going to live up those 3 seconds to the max. Are you with me?
I'm with you.
All right, let's go burn some tires.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for listening, everybody. 9 p.m., Stab Comedy Club, 1710 Broadway. Go there, laugh, and then maybe consider going to Ashley's show. Okay? Just kidding. Go to Ashley's show. Yeah, go to Ashley's show. All right. I love you. Bye-bye. This has been real rough. Love you.